US President Donald Trump has backtracked on plans to terminate the country's coronavirus task force just a day after he signals his intentions to cancel it. Early this morning, President Trump tweeted that the task force, which is led by Vice President Mike Pence, would be continuing indefinitely. He said while they may add or subtract people, its focus would be safety and opening up the country again. Simon Marks is with us from Washington. Hi, Simon.
Hello, Kim.
Did he say he's going to continue the task force, or is he going to be looking to replace it in some capacity, or is he going to replace it? You know, what I'm getting mixed messages, not unusually, yes, from the president.
Well, we have some clarification because he's spoken within about the last half an hour or so. He is definitely now keeping the coronavirus task force. He's done a complete U-turn on where things were 24 hours ago. Not just keeping it, but he says he's going to expand it. He's going to add new members to it, and we're going to be hearing about that, he assures us, in the next few days. Here's what he had to say a short while ago at the White House.
I thought we could wind it down sooner, but I had no idea how popular the task force is until actually yesterday. When I started talking about winding it down, I'd get calls from very respected people saying, I think it would be better to keep it going. It's done such a good job. It's a respected task force. It's I knew it myself. I didn't know whether or not it was appreciated by the public, but it is appreciated by the public.
It almost makes you wonder, Kim, why he decided to do away with it in the first place. But certainly the announcement that he was going to wind it up confounded members of the task force itself, who said they had no idea that that was part of the president's thinking.
So the president says that because the task force is popular, he's changed his mind.
Yes, there is that. One wonders why he hasn't polled the public on other issues that he's made of similar magnitude. I mean, all of this, I think, underscores an approach to coronavirus on the part of the administration that is changing very rapidly. And the focus now increasingly that the president is placing, as you know, is on this issue of reopening the economy. And that's why he says that the task force now is going to focus relentlessly, as it already has done, on making sure that any changes to the restrictions that are in force here will be made with a view to public safety. However, he was asked at the White House whether he accepted the conclusion of some of those academic studies we were talking about yesterday that suggest that his determination to reopen the economy is going to put lives at risk.
Will the nation just have to accept the idea that by reopening, there will be more cases, there will be more deaths?
So I call these people warriors, and I'm actually calling now, as you know, John, the nation warriors. You have to be warriors. We can't keep our country closed down for years, and we have to do something. And hopefully that won't be the case, John, but it could very well be the case.
But he knows it is the case. And he told reporters yesterday when he was in Arizona touring a mask where they make face masks, touring a factory, rather, where they make face masks, that he understood that lives would be lost as a result of reopening America's towns and cities. He seems to be making the calculation now that the American people, as he put it today at the White House, won't stand for the country being closed down for very much longer. They're itching to get back to work. And he, of course, is itching to restore some of the luster to America's economy this side of his date with the voters in November.
At this mask, let me get this straight. I'm beginning to feel like I'm hallucinating. At this mask factory, the president, of course, didn't wear a mask.
No.
Because he never does. And over the tannoy came the Guns N' Roses cover,
yes,
of James Bond theme Live and Let Die?
Yes, let me take you to Arizona yesterday.
Please do.
It may be the most unintentionally bizarre piece of video recently filmed of an American president. He was touring this factory where they are producing those vitally needed N95 masks for frontline healthcare workers.
This is the material that traps the particulates
As the boss of the plant was explaining how you trap particulars to the president, two things became immediately apparent. First, he wasn't wearing a face mask in a facility where everyone is supposed to wear them. But secondly, and even more oddly, the choice of music blaring out over the loudspeakers was eerily familiar. Now that is, as Kim has correctly identified, the Guns N' Roses version of the James Bond theme to the film Live and Let Die. Live and Let Die certainly seemed like an odd message for the White House to be embracing, given that the president, of course, is being accused by his critics of turning a blind eye to the growing threat of a massive second wave of infections here. We still don't know who selected that music and how it came to be echoing out, blaring out as the president completed his tour of the factory. But it certainly underscores the view that the president expressed in Arizona, and you heard him expressing at the White House a short while ago, that, look, there's going to be collateral damage as a result of reopening the American economy. He understands that, but it's a risk he says he's prepared to take, and the warriors out there in the public should be willing to do their bit as well in a bid to try and turn things around here.
Meanwhile, as you say, investigations are ongoing as to who chose the soundtrack. Maybe it was an act of rebellion.
I suspect that's unlikely. They played a bit of Elton John a little bit later on. My guess is that the soundtrack was perhaps not pre-approved by the White House, but certainly President Trump didn't appear to flinch as he was listening to it, and you couldn't fail to notice it or to understand that this was becoming the soundtrack to his very odd tour of this facility. But, you know, in the annals of oddness that we chronicle from here now on a daily basis, it's just another notch on the stick.
Elton John's Candle in the Wind, I imagine. Joe Biden's come out calling for justice for the family of the 25-year-old African-American who was shot while out jogging in Atlanta. What do you know about this?
Yes, this is a terrible story. An African-American who was jogging in Atlanta on a residential street where there had been several incidents of homes being robbed and so on and so forth. He was chased down by an ex-policeman and his son. There's video of this confrontation. And he was killed, shot dead after the ex-policeman and his son clearly concluded that perhaps he was the man who had been robbing various homes in the area. Joe Biden, of course, the likely challenger to President Trump this November, says that the killing of Ahmaud Arbery requires a public inquiry. A district attorney in Georgia says that a grand jury should be determining whether charges are brought, and Georgia's Republican governor, Brian Kemp, says that he is distressed by what occurred and that the people of Georgia deserve answers. This another example of brutality being meted out to an innocent African-American civilian simply going on this occasion out for a jog in a neighborhood in a part of the country where clearly people are still jumping to all sorts of conclusions that they ought not to be jumping to about some of their non-white neighbors.
Thank you, Simon. Simon Marks in Washington.